This is your host, Michelle, and you're listening to Old TV with a New Twist. Let's see what classic television show we're watching and talking about this week.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic boy aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a mighty sailing man, skipper brave and sure. Five passengers set sail that day for a three-hour tour, a three-hour tour. The weather started getting rough, the tiny ship was tossed. If not for the courage of a fearless crew, the middle would be lost, the middle would be lost. The ship set ground on the shore of this uncharted desert isle, with Gilligan, the skipper too, a millionaire. Wife, a movie star, the professor and Marianne, here on Gilligan's Isle.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 45 of Old TV with a New Twist. Today we are here for a reunion movie. It's actually our second reunion movie because we did do A Very Brady Christmas.
I totally forgot we did that.
Yes. And I have my same co-host, my beautiful daughter Eden, who is back for her 12th time at the microphone. Eden, you way hold the record here.
That's right, as it should be.
Now, we're going to talk, as we said, about Rescue from Gilligan's Island. Eden did the original Gilligan's Island podcast with me. And if you want to go back first and listen to that, it's such an enjoyable podcast. We had so much fun doing it. It's episode 33 of Old TV with a New Twist. That show and this movie was requested by one of Eden's best friends, Gabby. So we know Gabby's listening. Hi, Gabby.
Hi, Gab.
So if you want to know kind of the information about the show and the trivia and all that stuff, go back and listen to that first, because this is kind of a continuation. The show did run from 1964 to 1967, but the main thing is that the pilot was filmed in 1963. That is when they got shipwrecked. That's important to this because they have been on the island for 15 years when this movie was made in 1978.
The show ended with them being stuck on the island?
Yeah, because it was supposed to be renewed and it just very unceremoniously got canceled, which you apparently did not even pay attention to the podcast you were in.
No, now that you're saying that, I remember now, because they did think it was going to become another season, so they didn't worry about rescuing them yet. And that's why we got the movie. But I didn't realize the movie came so much later.
Well, that segues beautifully into what I'm going to talk about next. And that is because Sherwood Schwartz creates these characters. He creates these shows. These are his babies. Mm-hmm. And he always felt bad that he was not able to rescue them, mm-hmm. to give the viewers some closure, to give the actors some closure, except for Tina Louise, who didn't care, but to put closure to the story. Mm-hmm. And it always bothered him that he wasn't able to wrap it up. So for about 10 years, he was lobbying CBS, ABC. He was trying to find anybody. He had a rescue script written. He was shopping it around. Nobody wanted to do it.
Really?
Yeah. And then finally, he got NBC to commit to do it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But see, at this time, like reboots and reunions and all this had never been done. Mm-hmm. It's before he did the Brady Brides. It's before any of that. Mm-hmm. So nobody was willing to take a chance on it. So he financed the whole $1,300,000 budget himself to get this movie made. And then finally, 1978, they went into filming. Tina Louise asked for a phenomenal amount of money. Ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Nobody else was getting this kind of money, but she demanded it. And he's like, take a hike.
So it's not her.
It's not her. It's gotcha. Judith Baldwin is the actress who plays Ginger. The only one that's different. She's 12 years younger than Tina Louise.
Gotcha.
But I think she stepped in flawlessly.
I didn't know that it wasn't the original actress.
Well, I would call that flawlessly.
Well, as someone who's only seen one episode of the original and now this, I would obviously notice if it wasn't Gilligan or Skipper.
Or the professor.
Yeah, honestly, I would know all of them. But Ginger, I think, was my least favorite to begin with. So I didn't really pay that close attention to her. So she looks like her butt.
Her butt? What?
But I don't think she's a good actress. Unless this is how Ginger is supposed to be. But we'll get into that later. I didn't like her. But I didn't know it wasn't the original Ginger. So to your point, yes, she stepped in flawlessly.
In that case, yes, you proved my point. Okay, well, we're going to just dive right into recapping this movie. But we are just raring to go. We've had a great day so far. Eden and I have had a really good day.
Mm-hmm, we have.
And ready to talk. And the whole time we've been together all day and having lunch and everything, and we wouldn't even talk about this because we always wait to keep it fresh for the podcast. And I can't wait to hear what she's going to say.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, it begins exactly like the series began.
Silly.
With the theme song.
And I'm like, silly. A bunch of foolishness. Precisely. Yeah.
This movie took me on a journey because as somebody who grew up watching it, and I remember when this came out in 1978, and it was a big deal. It was a big deal that they were getting rescued from Gilligan's Island. So there were some very poignant moments, but for the majority, silly. Okay, so we start off in Gilligan and the skipper's hut where they're sleeping. But Gilligan is snoring and he's tossing and he's turning because he is having a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And his nightmare is that the island broke off and started to float away, and then it started to melt into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see the whole cast now because in comes Ginger and Marianne, because apparently Gilligan's screaming has woken everyone up. Then enter Eden's boyfriend, Mr. Howell, and his wife, Lovey, and then enter the professor. And Professor assures him that that nightmare could never happen. We've been on this island for 15 years and we are perfectly safe. Famous last words.
Yep.
Meanwhile,
we get some super cool space graphics.
Man, because there's a B story here, like, people.
Oh, there is a Z story. Actually, this story, you're about to get the start of a very stupid storyline. I was so confused why this was in the movie. I'm still confused.
There's no reason for it.
Zero reason.
Getting rescued and getting off the island could stand on its own without this craziness.
Let's say what happens. So we get a space scene. We get space graphics. We see that there's a spy satellite that needs to be blown up. Russians? Are they Russian?
They're giving you the idea that it's Russian. They sound Russian.
Right.
It's all.
So they see a spy satellite. They blow it up. A piece of the satellite falls to Earth and lands in the water right where Gilligan's walking. And he sees it and he's like, wow, you know, cool. Something metal. Let me pick it up.
It's a metal disc.
It's a metal disc out of some alloy that the professor does not recognize. And so from there, I knew they were getting rescued. So I thought the satellite was going to have something to do with the island. I thought it was going to hit the island and the island was going to float away like his dream. No. They use this metal piece from the satellite to build a barometer?
Yes.
I was like, okay, weird.
But the barometer was able to predict a storm that was going to produce a tsunami, mm-hmm. a giant tidal wave that was going to wash over them and could destroy the island, which is bad news.
Mm-hmm.
But it could also force a boat into the shipping lane so they could be rescued, which is good news.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have a boat, which is bad news.
You're right.
So tell us how they're going to make a boat.
Well, not they. Professor has an idea to tie all of their huts together. I believe he says there's three huts, which we saw Gilligan and the skipper are in one.
There's actually four.
There's four.
Yeah.
Okay. The Howells are in one. The professor's in one. And the girls are in one.
Right.
So they're going to tie the huts together. More silliness ensues with Gilligan trying to help build the boat. I thought that this part was going to last a lot longer. I thought we were going to get more island time. And I was like, oh, they're not getting off this island for another 40 minutes. The tsunami comes within the next 5 minutes. I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. Here it comes.
Yeah.
They tie all the boats together.
Moving all the huts together is completely unfeasible. If that's a word, not feasible. And I said, remember, we have to completely suspend reality.
Oh, completely.
Just like last time.
Well, the way it floats, we are to assume that they didn't build these huts directly on the ground. They built some sort of slab or foundation first, which at best would be like some leaves or some, you know, some really big leaves or some dirt.
Yeah.
Ain't gonna float.
I took the liberty of going back.
Ain't gonna float like this thing floats.
I took the liberty of going back and looking at some episodes, and the floor on all of the huts was just the sand.
Just dirt. Yeah.
They didn't build floors, but when they were lifting these to join them together, they all had these wooden floors.
Right.
Which, where they got all this lumber from, I don't know.
A lot of trees.
Yeah, I guess. So as with Gilligan's Island always, you have to suspend all reality and just say, it's just silly. Just go with the flow. Go with it. Let's see where they're taking us.
Assume that a tsunami big enough to take out the island wouldn't be big enough to destroy their huts.
Yeah.
And just crush them.
Yeah. Little bamboo sticks with leaves.
Yeah.
Basically.
Right.
But then this is, oh my gosh, so silly, because they're all getting lashed to the huts and Mrs. Howell all of a sudden starts screaming, Fifi, Fifi, tell us all about Fifi.
Well, I was so confused because she's saying Fifi and I hadn't seen, you know, I've only seen one episode of the show. So I'm like, did they have a dog this whole time? Like, how would you have lived? How would a dog have lived on an island for 15 years? But it's Gilligan's Island. Maybe they did. So she's calling out for Fifi. Gilligan goes to look for Fifi, the Howell's dog. And then he realizes, and they all realize, that they didn't bring Fifi. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
But we couldn't think of any other better way to get Gilligan not tied up. So now everyone's tied up to the hut boat, except for Gilligan. And the tsunami hits. Because Gilligan's we couldn't outside. Have Gilligan run back for his favorite hat or anything plausible. Yeah. He had to run back for a dog that they forgot they didn't bring 15 years ago.
Right.
Okay.
And it's the next morning. And we see an aerial shot of the water. And there's this huge hut boat floating in the ocean. Now, I thought that looked pretty cool.
Oh, definitely.
If you suspend all reality.
An unscathed hut boat.
And then, you know, there's the pratfalls. Mr. Howell thinks he's still on land. He falls in the water and all. And I just want to say this real quick. When they show you the close-ups, like when they're all standing on the porch, mm-hmm, so to speak, mm-hmm, of the boat, how they film that, obviously the aerial shots.
I was hoping you would tell me.
The aerial shots, obviously, that was really in the water at Marina Del Rey. They filmed it. I'll tell you about that later. Sherwood Schwartz found a parking lot at the studios where they were filming it. It was a large parking lot that had a cement wall all the way around it. So he said, we can flood it with water, put the boat in it, put a big sky backdrop behind them. And all those close-up scenes of them standing on the boat were filmed in the parking lot right there.
Wow, I'm going to have to go back and look at that because I was wondering, how are they doing this?
In one of the books that I use for my research, there's a picture of them filming it.
So oh,
I can
awesome.
Show you a little thing, though. Sherwood Schwartz got up on the cement wall to look at some angles or something and fell and spent the rest of production with his leg in a cast.
Oh, my gosh.
Little production tidbit.
Yeah.
Okay. They all start waking up because they slept through the whole thing and woke up at sea. But they're all realizing they are in the shipping lanes now. Mm-hmm. They are out at sea. They could be spotted. But then they realize Gilligan is not with them.
Mm-hmm.
But where's Gilligan? Eden?
Well, we have a very brief mourning period for Gilligan. I'm glad that didn't last too long because I'm like, okay, we all know he didn't die.
Yeah.
You know, within the first 20 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
A brief mourning period. And then we see Gilligan sleeping on a palm tree attached to the boat by his rope.
Yes.
So Gilligan is alive and well, just sleeping on a palm tree.
That's when they see him. They help him aboard. And then a shark appears in the water.
So my mom and I had spent this entire day together. And the only thing I said about the show or the podcast was there are two parts that I about gave up. This is part one.
Okay.
So Gilligan, how did you make it? How did you make it? You weren't tied to anything. Well, you know what I did? I took this rope and I tied it around my waist and he's showing you what he's doing. And as soon as he ties the rope around his waist, he's pulled into the water by a shark. And what we get is a way, way too long scene of a shark pulling Gilligan, the skipper. Mm-hmm. Is it the professor as well?
I thought it was just the skipper.
At some point, I think he's pulling three.
But I got to admit, I fast forward.
I got to admit, I stopped watching. I looked down. And I was like, let me check Instagram. And the way the shark chase scene ends is that a lady shark comes up and the man shark that's dragging him gives up to go chase the lady shark.
I was
like, what?
I gotta say this because episode 43 of Old TV with a New Twist, Tony Marino and I did the Happy Days episode where Fonzie jumps the shark.
I literally was like, jumping the shark.
This all falls into right in the middle of the Jaws craze of the 70s.
Oh okay.
Yes, it was. You had Jaws in 75, and then you had Jaws 2 was like 77, 78, right around this time. It was, you know what? You want to make something cool? Throw a shark in it. Just throw a shark in it. But when we see the shark and it's dragging Gilligan, we're not getting Jaws music. We're getting like circus music.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I'm glad that you put at least a little bit of context into it for me because I truly was like, who thought of this? Mm-hmm. Like, this has nothing to do with the storyline. There was no need for him to be pulled by a shark. if this was in a movie theater, I'd be out.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was so bad.
So suddenly we skip to 2 days later and they're all paddling and they decide they're rowing in a circle, the hut boat in a circle.
Which the professor is a genius, yet couldn't figure out that we were going to row in a circle.
I don't know.
Professor built a barometer out of sticks and a piece of metal.
Yeah. But if they had a sail, maybe they could steer themselves a little better. So the Howells donate all of their clothes and then they hoist it up and there's a big sail made of all their clothes. And so everybody's getting ready to be rescued now. So the girls mm-hmm. are exercising, doing some leg lifts or something. Yeah. And Mr. Howell says he's going to kiss Wall Street. Mrs. Howell says she's going to count the servants to see if any of them have left, to see how loyal they were. And the skipper is going through his list of girlfriends. Eden, is Skipper good looking? You think he's got a lot of girlfriends?
No, absolutely not. I was confused by Skipper's insinuation that he had a lot of girlfriends.
Skipper acts kind of pervy in this to me.
100%.
Okay, we'll discuss that when he talks about
the skirts.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, while they're all thinking about, oh, we're going to be rescued, Gilligan has decided he caught a fish and he's going to broil some snapper on the back of the boat. So he literally sets fire
on dry to the boat. Grass. Yeah.
But the smoke causes the Coast Guard helicopter that's in the area to spot them. So the helicopter calls out to them and the castaways realize they're being rescued.
Yep.
And okay. Silliness aside, Eden, this moment they show all their faces when they say we're rescued was a little nice.
That's the very next note I have, is that this scene and the return scene, such a fun scene. So fun. Had to be so fun to film.
Mm-hmm.
Just, hey guys, top secret. I know that they weren't actually stranded for 15 years. But I was emotional seeing them. I'm like, oh my gosh, they've been out there for so long. They're seeing people. They're being welcomed by boats. They're seeing technology they haven't seen. Like, this is so fun. I mean, I was fully in it.
Did you forget all about the shark? Did you forgive them for the shark?
I did. I was like, this is great. You know, I forgot about the shark. I forgot that they haven't actually been stranded for 15 years.
Right, right.
That they are acting. But it was such a good scene.
So the pilot does tell them that the smoke saved their lives. He would not have seen them. So after all of Gilligan's shenanigans over the years, because in almost every episode, they have a chance to get rescued, but Gilligan ruins
foils
it for him.
Yeah.
Like in the one you watched mm-hmm. when he locked them all in a cave.
Right.
And so it's because of Gilligan that they get rescued in this episode. So we're going to take a short break for a little announcement, and then we'll be right back to finish this episode. Just like to announce that if you are not a member of our Facebook group, please go join. It's called Old TV with a New Twist Podcast Group. And what I do is about a week or two before the podcast drops, I will go in and tell you what show we're going to be podcasting about next, but specifically what episode we're going to be talking about. And I'll tell you exactly where to find it, on what platform. I'll even post a link, whether it's Amazon or Hulu or any of the free streaming apps like Dailymotion, Pluto TV, Tubi TV or Crackle TV, I'll let you know exactly where to find it. That way you can go in, watch the episode, and when you listen to the podcast, you can follow along with us scene by scene because you will have seen the episode. And you can find out, did you laugh in the same places we laughed in? Did you not like what we like? Or did you like what we liked? And it'll be kind of fun to follow along. Just wanted to put that announcement out there to let you know that in that Facebook group, you'll have all the information before the podcast drops. And we're back. We hope all of you already are followers of our Facebook page. Now we go, and this is such a cool scene. We have a giant aerial shot of the Honolulu Yacht Harbor, where the Coast Guard is towing in the hut boat. In reality, this is Marina Del Rey, California.
Okay.
Where they filmed this.
But it's supposed to be Hawaii.
That's where Honolulu is located, Eden, Hawaii.
Gotcha.
A huge scene with many, many extras. And here's the thing. They hired a bunch of extras for the film. But Marina Del Rey is a popular tourist town. There's lots of shops and things, boats in the marina. And everybody saw what was going on and just joined in. So there were a lot of people in that scene that were not in the movie. They were just really just visiting Marina Del Rey that day and said, look, it's Gilligan's Island filming a rescue. And
that's cool.
They wanted to be part of it. And here's another little tidbit. the executive producer, Sherwood Schwartz, with his broken leg, was in the crowd with a camera. And if you look really close, you can see him in the crowd. Yeah.
How nice.
You're seeing it. It's like you're watching it on TV because there's a newsman saying, and the crew of the SS Minnow lost at sea for 15 years has now been rescued. And the harbor is just full of like the fireboats with the water being escorted by the Coast Guard boats. And then there's sailboats and all these other boats. It's really quite a shot.
It is neat.
It reminds me of the scene in the movie called Raise the Titanic, which was back in the 70s. And that's before they had discovered the Titanic and knew that it had broken up. So they thought it was just laying at the bottom of the ocean, fully intact. And this movie, they actually raise it up, drain it out, and sail it into New York Harbor.
Wow.
And when the Titanic is sailing into New York Harbor, it was quite a scene. I was all up in the fields, you know. That was back in the 70s. But anyway, that's what this reminded me of.
That's crazy. They thought it was one piece. That's really strange.
So they get off the hut boat.
Do they go to LA?
What happens is they
do kind of like a tour.
They do like a tour. Yeah, gotcha. They're famous. They're like the first people on Survivor. They're traveling all over here. They're heroes. They get a massive welcome when they get off the hut boat. People are cheering. Sherwood Schwartz admitted that three of the cast members actually cried. It
really?
Was so emotional. The cheering of the crowd, it was more than they expected.
Well, yeah. And like I said, I mean, I obviously knew they weren't stranded, as did the actors, but it was such a cool scene. It was just such a cool thing to see.
Yeah.
Super cool. Did they say which three?
No, he didn't say. So the governor welcomes them. Oh, this is one of the skipper's pervy moments when the girl's greeting them and putting the lei around their neck and kissing them all. He was a little pervy there. It was like, oh, come on, calm down, skipper.
Here's a couple of moments.
Calm down. Yeah. The governor welcomes them, gives them a key to the city. And then we get the first inkling. He mentions Jimmy Carter.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all like, who? Jimmy who? And they've missed three presidents. They missed the man walking on the moon, Watergate. Mini skirts. So you realize this is going to be a cultural shock for them. Things are way different in 1978 than they were in 1963. So we realize they're coming back to a whole different world, and this is going to kind of set a little bit of a tone.
Yes.
For the rest of the movie.
Right.
So then we see headlines in LA where they come in. We see a ticker tape parade in New York, and that parade is televised worldwide, and they're being interviewed, and the professor reveals they got rescued because of Gilligan's lucky charm. He's wearing it around his neck and it's made of the alloy that helped them get rescued. And these two espionage agents in Russia, Dmitry and Ivan, are watching this and they can
recognize this round piece of metal as something that comes from their ship,
spy satellite, whatever it was. They're at the Russian embassy, they're watching it, and they're instructed to get that disc back at any cost. So they're going to be following.
Kind of tuned out at this whole B plot situation of the chase of the alloy disc. Again, no need. When I went into the movie, before I started, I said, I want this movie to not take place all on the island and have the rescue come at the end. And then we get no view into what their life is like back home.
Right.
So once they got rescued pretty quickly, I'm like, okay, great. Now we're just going to coast, see what everybody's life is like back home, see them adjust to being back home because it's been so long. I didn't need the Russian spies.
We did get a little of what you just said. We do visit with them all.
We did, but of course they were sprinkled into every scene.
But they were chasing them around. Yeah. What happened here was when they all finished the ticker tape parade, they do the interview with the news.
Mm-hmm.
Now is when they're done. They're done with their tour of the United States being celebrities and whatnot. So they tell the newsman, we're going to get together for a Christmas reunion.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, we're all going back to our separate lives.
All going separate
ways. And they all just look at each other. And it's like, for the first time.
This got me.
Yeah.
I was like, oh no. This made me sad. I mean, because I think about, you know, my friends that I see often, I don't live with them. I don't see them day in, day out for 15 years on an island in a really stressful situation. I'm like, can you imagine just being like, okay,
see you later.
See you later. It's, you know, that's so strange.
And they played it well. It tugged on your heartstrings a little bit. And in Russell Johnson's book, The Man Who Played the Professor, he said that scene felt good to all of them because they finally got a chance to hug and say goodbye officially on film.
Nice.
Anyway, so now we go back to their lives. And the first two people we see are Gilligan and Skipper, who are refurbishing a new boat called the Minnow 2. I wouldn't give the... That's like naming another boat the Titanic.
Right? Titanic 2. Well, and also, like, the first thing you do when you get off an island that you've been on for 15 years because of your first boat is buy a new boat. And they're like, yeah, we got to get it done before this charter season. Something tells me that just wouldn't happen. That wouldn't be... Yeah. Your first thought.
Get you a job at Taco Bell and keep your 2 feet on the land for a while.
Like, and I get that he is a skipper. He's a captain. Like, that's what he does and that's what he wants to do. And that's what Gilligan does. But like, maybe just a wee break, just a little bit. Just like, I mean, nowadays, this was in the days before your 15 minutes of fame could be drawn out through social media and Instagram ads. And right. I mean, nowadays, if somebody goes missing for 15 years and then comes back, they're a celebrity. They don't have to work anymore. They don't have to build a boat and do next charter season.
Right.
They can ride that wave for a very long time.
Oh, was that a pun? Ride the wave?
Oh, a little pun. Not on purpose. but yeah, I mean, well, I don't want to spoil any endings.
Okay. No, don't say anything.
But they said Minnow 2. I said, oh no.
Well, let's ramp up the drama. Dmitri and Ivan show up, the Russian spies, and they see what they do is, because they're so brilliant, is wherever they go, they dress like everyone is dressed in that place to fit in, so you wouldn't notice them. So they decide they're going to dress like sailors, but they look like Donald Duck.
Right. So at the marina where people are just wearing shorts and flip-flops, they're wearing like the whites, like the navy whites.
Yeah, but not regular navy whites.
It's costume, like Party City. Party City navy whites. Like, they don't actually look like they're in the Navy. They look ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I have no notes from any of the scenes.
We're not talking about them much.
Because, no, from any of the home life scenes.
Okay.
I just wrote one thing.
Okay, well, let me know when. Yeah. I'll just go through quickly and tell you what's happening with everybody. Yeah. But because the skipper, he cannot pay off the Minnow 2 until he gets the insurance money from the wrecked and lost Minnow 1. So he gets a letter from the insurance company that they will not pay the insurance until the skipper can prove that the shipwreck was not his fault. So he needs to get signed affidavits from all the other castaways to say that he didn't cause it. So him and Gilligan embark on a trip. They're going to visit the other castaways. So that's where we're going to visit each of their lives. Skipper, something important happens here, and it's kind of neat. It's kind of profound and a little bit about the story, because Gilligan don't understand why the insurance company don't just believe him. He said to Skipper, don't they trust you? And he says, Gilligan, it's not like we're back on the island where we all trusted each other. We're back in civilization and it's a dog eat dog world. So you realize that there's a lot of things they didn't have to worry about when they were there,
mm-hmm.
that now they have to worry about. What are you doing?
Just looking at the microphone.
You're putting your eye up to the microphone. I'm like, you can't see. Okay.
Hello in there.
Yeah. So they leave to go visit the rest of the castaways with the two Donald Ducks following them. Mm-hmm. Okay. So first they go see Ginger, who's back to acting. And making movies has changed. She's got a lecherous director who wants her to do a nude scene with a filthy script. And the skipper and Gilligan show up, and she's so happy to see men who don't see her as an object. And the big bad world has changed so much. So they help her solve her problem. She signs the papers saying they weren't at fault. Dmitri and Ivan are dressed like cowboys or something on the
cowboys.
Movie lot.
Uh-huh.
And they're foiled again. And so
a Party City costume.
Yeah. So next we go to the professor. Now he's in his lab and he's working at a distinguished college. And I can tell because they play the same music they play on Animal House whenever they show that uppity fraternity, the real collegiate kind of music.
Yes.
It's very intelligent sounding mm-hmm. music. It's an esteemed, it's probably Harvard supposed to be or something. Mm-hmm. He's in his lab and a group of very overzealous cheerleaders enter to tell him that he's been elected prom king.
Which is odd.
A teacher?
At a college?
So they do this awful cheer and some pretty awful acting in the meantime.
So bad.
Rickety rack, we're so glad the professor's back. Eden, how's their cheerleading skills?
Terrible. No, I mean, it was probably good for back then. Seeing, you know, all the episodes of Brady Bunch, I see what cheerleading looked like back in this day. And it's pretty on par. Big giant palms, lots of jumping, lots of toe pointing.
Well, you can't look at what Jan did and call that cheerleading. Jan was awful.
Jan was great.
No, you hated Jan. You hated Jan in the movie and you hated her back in the series.
I did hate Jan in the movie.
You hated her for 20 years. Okay. They're talking about being turned on by him and that he's so macho. He has no idea what these things mean. Mm-hmm. So they cheer their way out the door after he agrees to be homecoming king. And in comes Miss Amesworth, who is the head of the anthropology department. And Professor is so happy to see a mature and intelligent woman. He's been disturbed by all the young and impulsive females who don't understand the importance of his scientific work. Miss Amesworth commiserates and she says she wants to do a study of the mating rituals of the tribes on these islands. So she wants him to tell her all about the natives he encountered. And she wants the juicy details of how they mated and got together and all this. It turns out she's a sex-crazed fiend. She's all over the professor, kissing him. What were you thinking here, Eden?
Literally nothing. When you say you've fast-forwarded through the shark scene,
oh,
I almost fast-forwarded through all of this.
Oh, okay.
The only note I have in all of this is everyone struggling with life back home. I didn't enjoy any of these scenes. What I wanted from the movie, seeing their home life,
got ruined by the way they did it.
Left me a little, yeah, left it. I just wasn't impressed by much of it. I wrote down everyone struggling with home life, and then I wrote plot gets very lost in the middle of the movie. Oh boy.
So Gillian and the skipper walk in just in time to chase her out, and Professor's very disillusioned with women becoming so aggressive. I'm sure the skipper don't mind women being so aggressive.
No, he's like, sign me up.
Yeah.
Where those cheerleaders go.
So Professor thinks he invented frisbees and electric toothbrushes and skateboards and pantyhose.
I did think that part was funny.
But they're like, nope.
Yeah.
Somebody beat
when he's
you to
saying,
it.
Because we did see him on the island invent a lot of things.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, he took his ideas from the island and came home. And unfortunately, most of them were already made. But that's funny. I was like, oh, that's good. Like, yeah. That's what I wanted to see.
Yeah. So anyway, so the dean comes in. And the dean wants the professor not for his academic skills or his research and scientific mind, but he wants him for his newfound celebrity to get donations for the college. He wants to pimp him out as a speaker and such, and Professor is just struggling. Dimitri and Ivan show up as exchange students. They get foiled again. Professor signs the papers, and we move on. Now we're going to the Howells. This should interest you. We're in a big mansion.
Yes.
They've got tons of servants. They are at dinner. It's a huge dinner table, so big that Mr. and Mrs. Howell need a intercom to talk to each other on separate ends of the table.
I didn't realize that they were at the same table for a minute. And then I was like, oh, wait, they're sitting at the same table. That's funny.
Yeah. They are hosting two couples, the Devonshires and the Fellows. Mr. Howell is discussing some lucrative business plans he's got going with these people. Fidel Castro himself delivers Mr. Howell his mm-hmm. Cuban cigars. Mm-hmm. You caught that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's when you're real rich, see? Gilligan and Skipper arrive to talk to them about signing the papers, and Mr. and Mrs. Howell and Gilligan and the Skipper overhear the friends calling Skipper and Professor riffraff, and oh gosh, I couldn't believe if I would have had to be stuck with people like that.
Which one's riff and which one's raff?
Yeah. And of course, Mr. and Mrs. Howell know who their real friends are, and it's mm-hmm. Gilligan and the Skipper. And so they throw those people out of the mansion because you're not going to treat Gilligan and the Skipper like that. And Dimitri and Ivan have shown up in tuxedos and they get swept out with the whole crew. He throws them all out. So they've been foiled again. Mr. and Mrs. Howell signed the papers. We're on to Marianne. Now, Marianne, when she got shipwrecked, was engaged
mm-hmm.
to Herbert Rucker.
Mm-hmm.
And when she came back, she felt she had to marry him. So it's her wedding day, and they walk in, and she's sobbing uncontrollably, all dolled up in her wedding gown. Her good friend Cindy comes in. Are you nervous? No, Cindy, she's miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Marianne tells her that Herbert loves her and has waited 15 years to marry her. So she needs to go through with it. Even though she has changed and he has changed and everything has changed, she doesn't love him anymore. But Cindy says, well, then you shouldn't marry him. And she says, but he waited 15 years. She makes Cindy promise not to say anything to anybody. So they make a promise like when they were kids, which entails spitting in their hands and then high-fiving. And I got to tell you, in a post-COVID world, that's just
gross.
That's just a no-no.
It's gross in a pre-COVID world.
Gilligan and Skipper show up, and she's so happy to see them. And she didn't invite anyone from the island to this wedding because she knew it was a sham. She's right. Just like, oh, I don't want anybody to see this. So they keep mentioning how Herbert waited 15 years. She keeps crying. So they decide they're going to save her. They get on a watermelon truck and just go pluck her off the altar when she's getting married. And
what do you think I'm going to say? This is part two. Shark was part one. This was part two. I don't know who was in charge of these two scenes. They had to, after the movie came out, like during filming and writing it, they were probably like, oh my gosh, this is so funny. This is going to be so funny. You know, a shark chase. And then now we're on the back of a watermelon truck and we're bowling with watermelons and knocking people over. But when they saw the movie, they had to know, okay, we kind of drug it on a bit too long.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is another scene where I just stopped watching.
I fast forwarded.
I truly was like, it's another 5-minute chase scene that doesn't need to be. Have him rescue her, and then that's it.
Yeah.
The end. Yeah. Like, we don't.
So they rescue Marianne from a wedding she didn't want in the first place. They find out that Cindy was in love and Herbert had fallen in love. Correct. You know, whatever. So she signs the paper, so it's good. So they're going to get the Minnow 2. And they meet on board the Minnow 2 on Christmas Eve. For their castaway party. They're reunited. And you got to love the gift Mr. Howell gave everybody.
Box of cash. It's very nice.
A box of assorted bills.
Yep.
And they discuss how they've all learned a lot about civilization and about who their friends really are. And the professor says they learned lessons in lust, greed, envy, sloth, pride, anger, and gluttony. The same 7 deadly sins that have always plagued mankind.
Mm-hmm.
Then they say, funny, we never had these problems on the island. Therein sums it all up.
Yeah.
You could have ended the movie with that. Wow, we learned so much.
And that's why I didn't hate the scenes where they were visiting their home life, because you did see, you saw like how excited Ginger got when they saw her. And when they all got together. And then you saw when Gilligan visits the professor says, oh yeah, this is a project I'm working on. And Gilligan knocks it over and he says, oh, don't worry, Gilligan, that's one I set up just for you because I knew you were coming.
Right.
And it's like they learned about each other. He knew that if Gilligan came, he was going to mess something up.
Right.
So he built him a whole separate project that he could just knock over. And then the Howells, it's just like on the island, they even said in the beginning, like, oh, we're not going to put the huts together, that let the help do that. We're going to go pack. But now when they're at home, they're like, no, these are my people. Like, these are my people. You're not going to talk down to my people. I talk down to them on the island. But it's cool to see how they all realize what they've learned and how close they've all become. So, yeah, I mean, this was a very sweet part. Again.
It was. And if they could have only just left it at that.
It annoyed me.
But Gilligan suggests that they all take a Christmas morning reunion cruise. The first charter of the Minnow 2 starting at 8 a.m. the next day.
Honestly, no clue why they would do that.
Well, okay. So we're gonna wrap this baby up at the end. They all meet at the marina the next morning. And they are going on the first charter cruise of the Minnow 2, and it's Christmas morning and everybody's there. But first, we have to wrap up the Dimitri and Ivan story. Ian, you want to wrap that up for us?
No, because I honestly don't remember what happens.
They show up on the boat and demand that Gilligan give them his lucky charm. So Gilligan takes it off and give it to him, and then the FBI boards the boat and says, we'll take that. And they took it. They arrest the spies and lug them off the boat, and they tell Gilligan he'll get back his thing later. Mm-hmm. But that's it. That's how it all wraps up.
Right. It completely pointless.
Yeah.
Like, so irrelevant to the
story. No reason they had to do any of that.
Was America beefing with Russia at this time?
The Cold War was kind of going on. So they're cruising out to sea. What were you
thinking?
Raise
your hand at home if you think this is a bad idea. I'll wait. Okay, I hear a lot of hands. This is a bad idea.
Were you thinking that? Did you know how this was going to end?
Oh, the second that they showed Skipper and Gilligan building Minnow 2, I said,
really?
I said, they are going back on the island. I just knew it. What, do you think it's going to end with a happy Christmas cruise and they sail off into the sunset? No, because they just told us that they were all happier on the dang island. So I'm like, yeah, they're all like, oh, life was so much better on the island. We trusted each other. Men weren't pigs. We respected each other. We talked to each other like human beings. I didn't have to marry a man named Herb. Just seems silly. But okay. But it's Gilligan's Island. What are you going to do?
Suspend all reality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they're cruising out to sea. The skipper realizes the compass doesn't work. And that is because Gilligan cleaned it and he removed the magnet because he just thought it was debris. So a storm sets in and they are caught.
Of course it does.
They are caught in it and they are tossed around at sea for 12 days.
12 days? I missed that.
Yes, 12 days. The boat blew around and they had no compass. They didn't know where they were going. And they wash up on a deserted island. And this is something they all kind of look at Gilligan because it was his fault. He's the one that disabled the compass. And somebody says, Gilligan didn't mean any harm. And Skipper said, neither did the iceberg that sank the Titanic. Yep. But Gilligan discovers where they're at. They are back on the same island.
And they all look relatively calm. I mean, a little too calm for you telling me that I'm on the same island. And I'm to assume that this island is extremely remote and that's why they couldn't be found the first time.
Not in 15 years. Nobody found them.
So at this point, my thought process is the only goal is that they pointed to the island on a map saying like, this is where we were this whole time. Yeah. Although I don't know if they knew.
Right. Once I got back, I'd want to pull out a map and say, where were we?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see where we were,
mm-hmm.
you know? So this don't happen to somebody else. Maybe right. us in a month or two.
Right. Yeah.
Here's an interesting little trivia thing. When they were all crawling all up on the beach, it was on the lagoon set, climbing up onto the sand, Sherwood Schwartz, the producer, had a really big problem with the sensors because of Ginger's cleavage. It was because when they filmed her coming up, you could kind of see down, you know, she had that big cleavage. So they said, you need to refilm it and shoot it from the back. And Sherwood Schwartz said, but if I shoot it from the back, she's coming out of the water and her dress is clinging to her butt cheeks.
Yeah.
And you're going to see the shape of her butt.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, no, maybe.
Yeah.
So what they did was he had a long shot of all of them coming out of the water. The one originally in the movie was like a close up of like the girls coming out and a close up of these people coming out. But they couldn't use the close up of Ginger because of her, you know. So they just used the long shot of everybody coming out.
Gotcha.
Because of her bosom.
I'm going to have to go back and rewatch that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can't see anything. And that's the point.
Right. Yeah. That's the goal.
The original one that the censors watched had a different shot of her coming out of the water. That was apparently
too risque.
Porn.
Yeah.
Gilligan's Island porn. And the end. And I remember the first time I saw it, I was like, this whole movie was supposed to rescue them.
Yeah.
But they put them right back on the island.
But again, I guess it's because that's where they were happy. None of them were really happy back home.
But was it a disappointment to you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Did you feel like, what did I just sit and watch?
Yeah. I wasn't super disappointed because I wasn't that invested, but if I was someone who loved Gilligan's Island, the original show, and then had watched this in 1978, I would have been very disappointed. Like, because I was just, you know, just an hour ago, I was so excited that they got rescued. So it was definitely a disappointment. Definitely.
If any of our listeners are disappointed, let us know on the Facebook page. Go and comment, because we really would like to know if this was an actual disappointment. It was an actual disappointment in 1978 when I saw it, and it's still today. But in 1978, I didn't know what I know now. And I'm going to tell you now what I know now. Is he ended it that way on purpose. Because, see, this movie, and he knew it was going to be big. It got a 52 share. It is the only show that ever knocked Love Boat off its perch on a Saturday night because it got phenomenal rate. Everybody wanted to see this.
Right.
Everybody. So He had already approached NBC about making several specials throughout the year to catch up with them, the castaways. And he already knew what he was going to do with the castaways. He didn't want to commit to another series because his actors were aging. Mm-hmm. And you can't commit them to a once a week series, make it a series of specials or something. That was already in the works. Now, that was 1978. In 1979, the movie came out, The Castaways on Gilligan's Island. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you about it. This picks up right where this movie leaves off.
Okay.
It came out 1 year later. They made it right after. They're on the island and they're trying to find a source of water because the tsunami has done something to the underground springs where they got their fresh water from. But they find an abandoned World War II bomber plane that was hidden under a bunch of trees and stuff that they didn't find in the 15 years they were there.
Amazing.
And they find a shed with, you know, all kind of stuff to repair it and all this kind of stuff. The professor repairs it and they fly it. But in an attempt to fly to Hawaii, Gilligan falls out and has to parachute to the island. Against their better judgment, the gang decides to return to the island to get him. A U.S. captain appears saying that their plane was detected on radar long enough for them to follow it to the island. So they get rescued. Shortly after they got on the island, they got off the island again. We find out. Okay. So they're rescued. Then it switches to 1 year later and we're coming up on the island. And what we see is a beautiful island resort called the Castaways Resort.
Gotcha.
And it's a tropical resort spot that the Howells have used all their money to invest in.
Gotcha.
And it's for all the castaways to live there together and run the resort. And it's linked to civilization, but there's no electricity. There's no phones. They have boats that come back and forth, bringing people from the mainland in Honolulu. People come and visit. It's to unplug from the problems
That's
of the world.
That's how this movie should have ended.
Yeah, they should have. All the guests quarters are in huts and tree houses and whatnot. They run it and it's, they're still able to have that kind of life, but they can bring other people to visit. This movie was planned as the pilot for a possible weekly series similar to The Love Boat. Mm-hmm. Like you have your staff and then different people visit every week with different stories and problems and whatnot. So that was The Castaways on Gilligan's Island in 1979, but it didn't get picked up as a series. Sherwood Schwartz didn't want it to be picked up as a series because of his cast. 2 years later, 1981, they do The Harlem Globetrotters on Gilligan's Island.
My goodness.
Now, it was originally slated to be The Dallas Cowboys Cheerleaders on Gilligan's Island. But the deal with them to appear fell through and The Harlem Globetrotters came through. So the famous Harlem Globetrotters crash land on Gilligan's Island. There's something with a mad doctor trying to get some kind of something on the island.
That's another show for another problem.
Yeah. Anyway, so it ended with them on the island. But because I know this, we do know they go back, they build a resort, and they all live there happily ever after.
Right.
So there you go. They're still out there, Eden. They're still out there.
And now, happy.
They're out there and happy. Yuma meter, 1 to 10. Let's go.
Usually when I score this low, it's low, but they were trying to be funny. I don't really feel like this movie was trying to be funny that much. I think they were trying to be funny with the shark. They were trying to be funny with the watermelons. Maybe they were trying to be funny.
But the sad part is it was not funny.
It was not. It was silly and it had a little, the funniest things, there were two things. One was when the professor set up the fake thing for Gilligan, because I just thought that was sweet that he was like, I knew you were coming.
Right.
And then the other was when Mrs. Howell said a secret not worth sharing isn't a secret worth keeping. I was like, that's funny.
So 1 to 10.
It didn't get many chuckles. I'm going to go 2.
Okay. Wow. I gave it a 2.
It's not funny. It's not a bad movie, but it's not a funny movie.
I said 2, just silliness. It was just silly. Just, yeah. I couldn't even say I really laughed. I was cringing. It was just not funny. Now, LOL, a favorite moment. I'm going to go first. There was no LOL moment, but I do have to say the rescue scenes was very cool.
Yeah.
So I'll give it that. It had those nostalgia moments.
Favorite scene, it has to be the rescue scene when they're coming in on the boat and they got the parade. Those were cool.
I hate to even put the watchability meter. If you knew this went to a series where they're all on the island and stuff and it was going to be the same kind of writing and all, would you want to watch?
I mean, it was a good movie, but
I'm confused.
The fact that they ended back up where it started, I was just like,
wait, I'm confused.
Why?
You think it was a good movie?
Watchability? It wasn't bad. Okay. It wasn't bad.
You said you fast forwarded through half of it or slept through half of it.
The middle of the movie.
Scanned Instagram through half of it.
The middle of the movie was poorly executed.
Okay.
I think they had the right idea by showing us each their home life. But it was just poorly executed. But I still liked seeing it. I liked seeing
overall
them being okay. rescued.
Okay.
I was annoyed that it ended with them going back to the island, but I liked seeing it. Now, would I watch it again? Probably not. Not watchability. It doesn't really have that like rewatch mm-hmm. power, because the only reason I watched it in the first place, well, two reasons, because you made me. And then second,
Gabby, it's Gabby's fault.
Because I wanted to see them get rescued. So
right
now that the podcast is done and I know that they don't really get rescued, I don't need to see it again.
So is there anything else in your notes we didn't cover that before I just do a few little useless trivia things?
Mm-mm. No, that's everything. Oh, there was one other thing. This was like my first thought in the movie when they said it's been 15 years. Everyone's clothes are impeccably clean. Impeccably clean. At one point, Mrs. Howell is wearing a white feathered ensemble. Spotless. Pressed. I was like, wow.
After 15 years on an island.
Again, I'm going to bring up Tom Hanks in Castaway, but his clothes did not look like that.
Did he even have clothes? What was he at the
no,
end?
No, he ended in like a wrap around his waist. No, I mean, and he was only there for 4 years, 5 years. Yeah, their clothes were impeccably kept.
And now I just have one or two tidbits from Mom's Useless Trivia. And this is according to the book by Russell Johnson, who played Professor. The final day of filming, Bob Denver, who played Gilligan, went out to lunch and had a little too much to drink.
Hmm.
He was turned. I learned that word on this podcast, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came back to the set drunk. And this caused him and Alan Hale Jr., who played the skipper, to get into a terrible argument.
Wow.
Because Alan told him off in front of the cast and crew about the condition he arrived back in to film. And Bob stormed off the set after the argument and didn't come back that day. But the next day when they came back, they had talked and everything was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very, very close for the rest of their lives.
Interesting.
And he said nothing like that ever happened on the set. So that was interesting. The movie got a 52 share, as I mentioned. It remains one of the top TV movies of all times. This remarkable high rating led to other TV reunion movies, such as Still the Beaver, which was from Leave It to Beaver,
mm-hmm.
Return to Mayberry, which was the revisiting of the Andy Griffith Show, I Still Dream of Jeannie, and his own series, The Brady Girls Get Married, which was the first kind of reunion movie filmed of the Brady Bunch. So that was kind of cool when you realize this was the first reunion of an old show. And then several of them went on to have it. There we have it. We can close the book on the whole Gilligan's Island series. You can move on to something new next time, Aiden.
Exciting.
Don't know what it's going to be. Any final words?
Seinfeld.
Seinfeld, everybody.
Seinfeld, that's it.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
This is Michelle, and thank you for joining us for this episode of Old TV with a New Twist. If you like this podcast, please subscribe to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or on your Apple Podcast app. And join our Facebook group, Old TV with a New Twist Podcast Group, and tell us what you'd like to hear us talk about, and we'll keep you informed of what's to come. We'll be back next month with a whole new episode of Old TV with a New Twist.